29. 2 Chronicles 29. Appreciate how the preaching this week has been centered around God dealing with church, dealing with saved people. I'm glad He's got whatever it is that you need in your life, what I need in my life. And He knows exactly how to deal with us as individuals, doesn't He? You know what I've figured out? Got two daughters. And we'll be out town. Some people think one of them looks like me and one of them looks like Lori. Next person we'll see will flip that. And everybody sees a little different. But one thing I have figured out is they're individuals. And I have to treat them, even as a father, I treat them as individuals. And I remember when they was just little bitty things. Lindsay, it's kind of hard to believe this a little bit, but I tell you what, she was stubborn. Stubborn as she could be at about 2 or 3 years old. And Lainey, you could just look at her about me and she'd break down and cry. But they're individuals, and I'm glad that as individuals, God, He don't just come by and treat you just like He treats me. He treats us as individuals. He knows what your need is. Your need's not always what mine is. And mine's not always what yours is. But I'm glad He knows how to come to each one of us and do that for us that we need as individuals, as His children. I love that. And my heart has been so enlarged and wrapped around the church, the house of God. And it just seems like the Lord will not let me get away from that. It's been my heart for I guess this is the third week in a row that I've taken some thought around the house of God. And here in 2 Chronicles, I want to look again at the house of God, sacrifice at the house of God. And I thank God for this place, don't you? I thank God for a place to come together and worship. I thank God that when we gather together, we're not just coming to sing a few songs and hear, at least I sure hope you're not coming to hear some tidied up message that's always got 3 points and ending with a poem. Sometimes it might be that way, and sometimes it ain't nowhere close. But I thank God for a place we can come to worship and pour our hearts out together and individually to God. That's what church is about. And I thank Him for that, because we are in a day where it's going to get increasingly more and more against the church. Been reading statistics, been reading a book, and several books that deal with that very fact of this day of apostasy. I know we love to quote numbers that we've heard since the 50s that America is over 75% Christian, but the reality is, if America is over 75% Christian, then there's a whole lot wrong with those that are claiming to be Christian. Because Gallup polls and every poll that takes a compass of what's going on in America is extremely troubling. And if you just go down the moral compass, it is almost a 50-50 split between the moral issues of our day. If over 75% of America is claiming to be Christian, there is a bad problem with those that claim to be Christian. But the reality is, there's been recent studies that has asked the question a little more firmly. How many of you claim to be born again? How many of you claim to be born again Christians? The number has been staggering to some of the people that have done the study, somewhere between 7 and 9 percent. That means less than one out of ten claim to be born again. You young people that are in high school or middle school, you could probably line up with that reality. When you look at what goes on at school, you would probably agree that less than one out of ten even looks like anything that would appear to be someone who's trying to live for God. We're living in a day where people claim to be something, but there is absolutely no fruit that they are what they claim to be. And then you get down to the very minute details of the issue, and just the fact is there's very few that even claim to be born again by the blood of the Lamb. And how that ought to put a weight upon us, and yet at the same time a supreme gladness upon our heart that God has chosen us to be part of His bride in this generation. Well, what is it that He is wanting to do around the house of God? I want to look here in 2 Chronicles 29 at the sacrifice at the house of God. Beginning in verse number 25 of 2 Chronicles 29, it says, "And He set the Levites in the house of the Lord, with cymbals and psalteries and with harps, according to the commandment of David and Gad the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all," look at that word, "all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished." I'll stop reading there for the sake of time. We'll look at a few other of these verses as we look at this thought. But I want to look at sacrifice at the house of God. Let's pray together before we look at this thought. Father, I thank You for Your precious Word. Thank You, dear God, for how it speaks to our hearts. Thank You, dear Lord, for everything that we've heard here in this place this week. God, we need You here this morning. Lord, I thank You for church. Thank You, Lord, this is what You died for. God, I ask You that You would help us in these moments, that You would point our hearts to You and the fresh reality of the sacrifice that is required down at the house of God. We'll thank You and praise You for all that You do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Down at the house of God in 2 Chronicles, we find that there are several things that are pointed out that He lines up with the sacrifice of the people. He's not talking to the church leaders. He's not talking to those who are just set aside for some kind of special service for God, but He is talking to every child of God who is at the church house. If you're saved this morning, I'd like to see your hand. He's talking to everybody that knows God. That means He's talking to me and He's talking to you. Sacrifice down at the house of God. I'm afraid so many times we come to church, even those of us that raised our hand and say we're a child of God, and we come to church, maybe prepared, maybe not prepared really for what's about to go on at church, but then we come and sit down and we say, "Well, I hope the Lord will touch the choir. It sure would be nice for Him to help me somehow this morning." And we almost get the idea of Bless me if I can possibly be blessed here in this service today. We sit back and listen to the choir. We sit back and listen to the prayer. We sit back and listen to singing. We sit back and listen to preaching. And we leave without really ever laying down any personal sacrifice before God. If you go back to the book of Leviticus, we find that there are several sacrifices that are made. There's a sin sacrifice. There's a peace offering. There is a burnt offering, which is what we're going to look at for a minute this morning, and we'll go into a little more detail with it in just a minute. But I want to notice, first of all, what happens before there is sacrifice made at the house of God. First of all, notice the cleansing that occurs before the sacrifice. You and I will never offer a sacrifice that is pleasing unto God, but unless, first of all, before that, there is cleansing that is done. There's a lot of people today trying to give God something and they've got filth in their heart. Notice what he says in verse number 15. Go back to verse 15. They gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves. And came, this is before they're coming to the house of God. They sanctified themselves and then came, according to the commandment of the king, by the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. There's some cleansing that had to take place before there was ever any sacrifice that could be made. It continues in verse 16, saying, the priest went in the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. The Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Cleansing must precede sacrifice. There's a lot of people this morning that are running around the United States of America lining up with Christianity, and they are completely full of uncleanness. There's a lot of people that come down to the church house that come down week after week after week after week after week, never sacrificing anything to God because they are slam full of junk. Slam full of mess, slam full of uncleanness. And our Lord, first of all, in this chapter, cleans everything out of the house of God before anything is ever accomplished in service and sacrifice for our Lord. I'm going to tell you what I believe has taken place here in these nights of revival. God takes His Word and sometimes He just comes by and washes us up real good and gets mess out of our heart, out of our lives, out of our walk that maybe we didn't even know needed to get out of our walk. Cleans us up, gets stuff out so that He might put stuff in that we might lay ourselves down before Him. Reality is sometimes God, not sometimes, every time God has to clean us out before you and I can ever be anything for Him. I just believe this morning some of us, some even right here in this place, are carrying around things in your heart. The reason you're not being used mightily for God is you will not cough up and let Him clean out of you what will always inhibit you being used of God. It is an impossibility to walk through this life with filth in your life and be anything for God. Sacrifice at the house of God begins, first of all, with cleaning. Sometimes God just has to clean us up. You might be here this morning, you know you're saved. You know that you're headed to the city of God, but there's stuff in your life that you just need God to completely come in and clean you out like He never has before. You just need to be cleaned up. so that you can be used of God. The sacrifice down at the house of God begins with cleansing. And then secondly, we notice the commandment. This is not optional. If you're a child of God, he said, this applies to every one of you. And if you look in verse number 24, it says, the king commanded for the burnt offering. In verse number 25, it said, it was the commandment of the Lord by the prophets. In verse number 27, it says, and Hezekiah commanded them. It was not an option in this day. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it is not an option that God gives that some Christians do this and others get by without it. No, God will cleanse you up and he will command you to lay down your life in sacrifice for him. First of all, there's cleansing. Then there is commandment. It is not optional. It is God's desire for every person under the sound of my voice that knows God. Well, then I want us to notice what it is that he's asking us to do. I want you to notice, thirdly, not only the cleansing, not only the commandment, but notice this sacrifice is complete. Complete. Now, I understand that in Leviticus chapter 1, it is foreshadowing everything that God is coming to do for the church. He is the sin offering. He is the burnt offering. He is the peace offering. He is everything that you and I need in order to be saved and see eternity in heaven. I understand all of that. But in Romans chapter number 12, verse 1, when Paul says, I exhort you therefore, or I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, he points back to Leviticus chapter 1, to the burnt offering. I believe it's important for us to look at it for just a few moments. What in the world is God talking about? What is he requiring of us as his people to sacrifice before him at the house of God? He'll clean you up, and then he'll command you that this be what is in your life. Complete submission, sacrifice to him. I'm not going to go and read it all for the sake of time, but I hope at some point you'll read Leviticus chapter number 1 and see what all is involved with the burnt offering. They would bring a bullock, or they would bring a lamb. They would bring a sacrificial animal. And the only thing they would do, and we'll see it later in this chapter, is they would bring it to the high priest. The high priest would do what Scripture calls flay, F-L-A-Y. I'm sure Brother Allen could give a whole lot better description of what all takes place and some of these young men that work for him during deer season. But essentially, they take the skin off of the animal. That's all. They take the skin off of the animal. And then the entire animal is cut up into pieces and laid on the altar before God. When Paul says in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. You know what he is literally saying to you and I? Is that you would peel back the skin, what is on your exterior. As I look across the congregation this morning, every one of you look like saints to me. You all dressed up nice. Most of you fixed your hair. Sorry, I had to say that. You got ready, wanted to look the best you could, come down to the house of God. Thank God for that. But what the Lord is telling us when we get down to the house of God is you need to, I can't do this for you. Your mama can't do this for you. Your daddy can't do this for you. Your wife can't do this for you. Your husband can't do this for you. But God is telling you and I to take back the outer layer. And here's what I want to ask you this morning. If you take back that outer layer and you look on the inside, you and you and God alone know what is on the inside this morning. I don't know if it's been cleaned up, but God does. I don't know if it's being sacrificed before God, but God does. And what He is telling you and I, that what He is commanding for us to do is let Him clean us out, and then for us to take off that old exterior, bring ourselves before Him. Not just part of us, not just a hand, not just a foot, not just a head, but He tells us to lay down our complete self on the altar before God. And here's my question for you this morning. Number one, have you been cleaned up? Number two, does God have every bit of you? I don't know. You do. Your neighbor don't know, but God sure does. Does God have every fiber of your being? If we peel back that stuff that's on the outside, have you laid everything on the altar before God? I've had the great privilege to read in these last months and years, biographies and autobiographies of men and women who have just laid down their complete life before God. Hudson Taylor, Adoniram Judson, John G. Patton. If you go down the list, I'm talking about men that in their teenage years, God put His hand on them in such a way they could have been successful no matter which way they went in life. But God put His hand on them in such a way they said, "Lord, whatever You want for my life." You know what they were basically doing? Just laying down their life before God. "Lord, You take me. You do whatever You want to with me." There's young men under the sound of my voice. There's young women under the sound of my voice. You've got plans for your life, and that's fine. That's well. It's exactly what you ought to do. But I wonder this morning, would any of us be willing to let God completely change what we've got planned for our life? I wonder if there's anybody in this place this morning. You may be on up in years. It may be that you're at a point in life you say, I look back down the road, I'm already too far for it. No, if you and I would lay ourselves down before God this morning, He could use you and I in a way that would revolutionize this part of the country. I mean, I'm talking about just one person. I wrote about John G. Patton. He lost... Within just days of being there, his son died in a foreign country. Most of us would have probably packed it up and come back to the house and said, "Lord, must not have been in this." But before he left there, the Lord had turned that whole cannibalistic island to God. And I wonder, in this day that we're in, would there be some men and some women that would just be willing to sacrifice everything they've got down at the house of God? God might use us to turn our families to God, to turn this community to God. Complete. Complete. Everything. We've got D.L. Moody. When God was dealing with him about surrendering his all to God, one man came to him and said, "It is yet to be seen what God could do with just one person who would give them every fiber of their being." D.L. Moody said, "I want to be that man." Francis Schaeffer wrote this song. I want to just give you a portion of it. "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Listen at what the words say. Take my moments. How many of us would give up our moments? Take my moments and my days. Take my hands. How many of us would let God have everything? Take my feet and let them be. Take my voice and let me sing. Take my lips, let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold. I mean, how many of us say, Lord, you can have this area of my life, but what about if he goes putting his hand on this area of your life? Take everything that I've got. Take my silver and my gold. Take my intellect and use. I've been around some of you, some intelligent people God has put right here. Thank God for that. Would you be willing to use every bit of that for God? Take my will and make it thine. Take my heart, it is thine own. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. It got further and further and further and further down into the details of Francis Schaeffer's life. But yet in the last stanza, I believe it encapsulates it all. Take myself. Take myself. How many of us want just enough God to get us by so that everything else in our life goes according to our plan? It's a reality that most of us live in. We thank God for being saved, and we want to surrender just enough of our life so that God will take care of everything else that we're planning for our own life. How many of us, I wonder, would say, Lord, take my hands, take my lips, take my intellect, take my feet, take everything about me and use it for your glory. I remember when God started putting his hand on this very thought in my life. It was before I even pulled up the white flag and surrendered to preach. I believe this. This is not just for preachers. This is not just for deacons. This is not just for Sunday school teachers. But he has commanded every child of God, let him clean you up. And then in complete sacrifice, give everything you've got to God. I wonder how many of us would be willing to come to the house of God and say, Lord, you can have it all. Well, what is the result in doing such a thing? What is the culmination in a life and a people and a congregation that surrenders themselves in sacrifice at the house of God? I want you to turn to the last verse of the chapter and look at the culmination of sacrifice at the house of God. It's got a certain sound. Verse number 36. And Hezekiah rejoiced. You know what you will find out when you... I know there's something in the heart of every person that wants to hold on to stuff we think we've got control of, but we have absolutely no control of. We want to hold on and think we're planning, we're working out details of our life. We think we're just doing it all and we're doing it well. But when we let go of it and let God have it, he gives it back to us in a fashion and lets you see it and enjoy it in a light you never could have enjoyed it before you gave it all to him. And when he does that, there will be something that boils up out of you that is rejoicing and praise to God. Did you know this? I have never heard of one individual who laid themselves completely on the mercy of God, on the altar of God. Never heard one individual that got up and said, I wish I hadn't done that. Every testimony that I've ever heard, whether it be a biography, whether it be a personal testimony, is saying, you know what they do? They point back and say, thank God for the day that I just laid it all down on the altar with God. Thank God for the sound of culmination. Hezekiah rejoiced. Can you rejoice? You can rejoice if your name's in the book of life, but has God ever cleaned you up to the point that you could lay it all down before Him? Or have you got stuff inside of you that needs cleaned out before you can even give it all to Him? There's a sound of the culmination. Hezekiah rejoiced. And then there's satisfaction. And all the people that God had prepared the people. God hath prepared the people. You know what that literally means? In our everyday language, He restored them to a point in their life where there was perfect communion between them and God. Some of you are here this morning, you're saved. You're glad you're saved. But you don't know anything about that soul satisfaction of God having every finite molecule of your being. There was a sound. They rejoiced. There was satisfaction because God had restored that fellowship with Him. And then I want you to notice the suddenness. It says, for the thing was done suddenly. Suddenly. I know there's a lifetime of getting closer to God. I know down through the years the Lord works on you and He works on you and He works on you and He works on you. We've always sang that song, He's still working on me, and He will until we get out of here. But when you lay down everything you've got before God, there is a suddenness. He'll take your life and do something for you that only God can do through sacrifice at the house of God. I wonder this morning, where are you at in this text? We're all in here. Some of you are in here and you're just ceremonially unclean. You've never been saved. You need God through the blood of Christ to wash you, to clean you up good, to save you. Some of you are in here this morning, you're saved, you're going to the city of God. You're just carrying around some mess, needs to be cleaned out. Some of you are in here this morning, God's cleaned you up. He's used these nights of meeting to get into places in your life you didn't even know needed to be cleaned. He's taken care of some things for you personally as His child. Thank God that He has. And I believe this with all of my heart. Every last one of us have got some areas we could still cough up and sacrifice and surrender to God. My prayer is just one young man, one young woman, God may put it in their heart to give Him everything you've got. What'll that mean for me? I don't know. But I do know this. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it.